Praise the Lord, message number 274, the title of the message, God's Cosmic Requirements, part 12. Let's open our Bible to the book of 2 Kings and chapter 20, and let's read from verse 1 to verse 11. 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 1 to verse 20. In those days, Hezekiah became ill and was at the point of death. The prophet Isaiah, son of Amos, went to him and said, "This is what the Lord says, put your house in order, because you are going to die. You will not recover." Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord. "Remember, Lord, how I have walked before you faithfully and with wholehearted devotion, and have done what is good in your eyes." And Hezekiah wept bitterly before Isaiah had left the middle court. The word of the Lord came to him, "Go back and tell Hezekiah, the ruler of my people, this is what the Lord, the God of your fathers, David, says, I have heard your prayer and seen your tears. I will heal you. On the third day from now, you will go up to the temple of the Lord. I will add 15 years to your life, and I will deliver you and the city from the hand of the king of Assyria. I will defend the city for my sake and for the sake of my servant David." Then Isaiah said, "Prepare a poultice of figs, did it so, and apply it to the boil, and he recovered." Hezekiah had asked Isaiah, "What will be the sign that the Lord will heal me, and that I will go up to the temple of the Lord on the third day from now?" Isaiah answered, "This is the Lord's sign to you, that the Lord will do what he has promised. Shall the shadow go forward 10 steps, or shall it go back 10 steps? It is a simple matter for the shadow to go forward 10 steps," said Hezekiah. "Rather, have it go back 10 steps." Then the prophet Isaiah called on the Lord, and the Lord made the shadow go back 10 steps. It had gone down on the stairway of Ahaz. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for your goodness and your faithfulness to us. We come before you in the name of Jesus. We ask you, Lord, to anoint the message, the word that you are sending to your church and to your people. Let the message bring clarity and to explain well the requirement of your calling when you are calling us to come and serve you and worship you in spirit and in truth. And I pray, Lord, that the message will answer certain questions and will help your people to commit their life fully to go on and saving you in the way that you want them to be. Lord, I pray that anoint my lips and put verses and statement, and let your will be done. The purpose of sending this message, the harvest that you desire and delight to see, shall come through in the life of your church, in the life of your servant, and in the life of your people. We thank you, Lord. We bless you, Jesus. This is all we ask, pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The King Hezekiah, when he received the news from the prophet Isaiah that he will not live, he need to put his house in order and he will surely die, he turned his face to the wall and he prayed, and he Say to the Lord, remember, Lord, how I have walked before you faithfully. You know, King Hezekiah has had the courage to say to God, remember how I have walked before you faithfully and with a wholehearted devotion, because King Hezekiah had done a lot of wonderful, marvelous things to God. And that's why when you are faithfully walking with God and you face problem or difficulties or even now trials or some troubles, you would pray and to ask God to heal you. But especially if you are doing good with Him, if you had walked faithfully with Him, then you have the courage, you have the faith to ask God for favor to heal you. And truly, Hezekiah has done a lot and beautiful things to the Lord. In book of 2 Kings chapter 18, if you will read verse 1 to verse 7, as we read, we can grasp that King Hezekiah did good to the Lord. And you can reflect on yourself on the things that God wants you to do, as He is calling you, as He had called you to serve Him, as you are doing and persevering to achieve the requirements of God in your life in calling you. Let's see 2 Kings chapter 18 verse 1 to 7. In the third year of Hoshea son of Elah king of Israel, Hezekiah son of Ahaz king of Judah began to reign. He was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 29 years. His mother's name was Abijah, daughter of Zechariah. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father David had done. He removed the high places, smashed the sacred stones, and cut down the Asherah poles. He broke into pieces the bronze snake Moses had made, for up to that time the Israelites had been burning incense to it. It was called Nehushtan. Hezekiah trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel. There was no one like him among all the kings of Judah, either before him or after him. He held fast to the Lord and did not stop following him. He kept the commands the Lord had given Moses, and the Lord was with him. He was successful in whatever he undertook. He rebelled against the king of Assyria and did not serve him. So here, as we have read, that King Hezekiah have done lot of beautiful things. We read that he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. And you can reflect this in your life, is that you need to do what is right. How you do what is right is to do what God wants you to do and to achieve it for Him. God will certainly ask each and every one of us certain things, and He wants us to do it. When we do it, then we are doing what is right and just in the eyes of the Lord. Second, Hezekiah, he removed the high places. These places were not ordained by God for worship. And how do you reflect that in your life? When God calls you, you need to stop getting involved of activities, parties, and programs which are externally religious, but in reality they are not representing God's way or God's way for worship. Third things, Hezekiah smashed the sacred stones and cut down the Asherah poles. He removed different kinds of idols. And to fulfill God's calling in your life, God called you today to get rid of things that had replaced God in your life, like laziness, love of money, watching TV, playing video games, following traditional practices, worldliness, greed. All these are form of idols, and God called you to remove these things from your life. You need to cleanse your life from such idols. That's how to fulfill God's calling. In Ephesians chapter 5 verse 3 to verse 7, but among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Now, should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving? For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. So these are all idols in your life, and as you fulfill God's calling, you need to remove all these things. Furthermore, further point, King Hezekiah, he broke into pieces the bronze snake Moses had made, for up to that time the Israelite had been burning incense to it. It was called Nishtan. The meaning of Nishtan is unclean. Is also the meaning of it is bronze and common. As God called you, you need to clean your life from unclean and holy and unholy things. These are the things people consider them holy. But when you go to the Word of God, they are unclean. You know, understand, they think that is, when they worship her, they think it is holy, but it is bronze only. It is a common thing. It is idol that they needed to remove. Till the King Hezekiah time, it was there. So Hezekiah removed it. And God called you to remove these common, unclean, unholy things out of your life. In Luke chapter 16 verse 15, he said to them, you are the one who justify yourself in the eyes of others, but God knows your heart. What people value highly is detestable in God's sight. God, certain things the people, they consider it holy, of high value, but in the front of God they are detestable things. Hezekiah removed the detestable things. And you need to remove also, in fulfilling God's calling in your life, you need to remove the detestable things that people consider holy, but they are detestable, unholy before God. King Hezekiah, point number 5, he rebelled against the king of Assyria and did not serve him. There was a league between the father of King Hezekiah and the king of Assyria. When King Hezekiah came, at first he followed that league, but later on he rebelled because he knew it is wrong. He needed to trust God to protect him. You need to understand also this way, to move toward trusting God and neither to be loyal to people nor trusting that they will help you is part of how to fulfill God's calling. God wants you to start to serve Him wholeheartedly and trust Him that He will be the one to help you in times of trouble. of need. Don't make a friendship or contact with people because you think that they will help you. No. You must trust God. You must serve Him. Not to trust people and serve them, because they will be idols to you and they will take you away from God. In Jeremiah chapter 17 verse 5 onward, this is what the Lord says. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who draws strength from mere flesh and whose heart turns away from the Lord. That person will be like a bush in the wastelands. They will not see prosperity when it comes. They will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in Him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its root by the streams. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fail to bear fruit. So there's a difference between somebody who does not trust God, even if he's in the middle of the blessing, but he cannot see. It will come, but he will not enjoy it. He will not see it. He will always be in need and in troubles. And the man who trusts in the Lord, that he will be blessed in all circumstances, and he will be like a tree planted by the water. He has no fear, no worries, because he trusts in the Lord. Hezekiah, when he got sick and he prayed, he had done all these good things that the Lord delighted. He did not mention, but he told the Lord, remember how I walk faithfully and wholeheartedly before you. And that's why the Lord granted him his request and he was healed. And as we have read also, 15 years had been added to his life. Later on, after that event of sickness, if you go to again to 2 Kings chapter 20 and you read from verse 12, we'll continue to read until verse 20, let's read. At that time, Marduk Baladan, son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent Hezekiah letters and a gift, because he had heard of Hezekiah's illness. Hezekiah received the envoys and showed him all that was in his storehouses, the silver, the gold, the spices, and the fine olive oil, his armory, and everything found among his treasures. There was nothing in his palace, nor in all his kingdom, that Hezekiah did not show them. Then Isaiah the prophet went to King Hezekiah and asked, what did those men say? And where did they come? Where did they come from? From a distant land, Hezekiah replied. They came from Babylon. The prophet asked, what did they see in your palace? They saw everything in my palace, Hezekiah said. There is nothing among my treasuries that I did not show them. Then Isaiah said to Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord. The time will surely come when everything in your palace and all that your predecessors have stored up until this day will be carried off to Babylon. Nothing will be left, says the Lord, and some of your descendants, your own flesh and blood, who will born to you, will be taken away, and they will become eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. The word of the Lord you have spoken is good, Hezekiah replied, for he thought, will there not be peace and security in my lifetime? As for the other events of Hezekiah's reign, all his achievements, and how he made the pool and the tunnels by which he brought water into the city. Are they not written in the book of the annals of the king of Judah? As we have read in 2 Kings, you know, Hezekiah did mistake. But the way that Prophet Isaiah answered him, and when he told him from where they came, and he announced to him the judgment of God, the rebuke of the Prophet Isaiah was very heavy and was grave. It reached to tell him, as we have read in verse 17 and 18, the time will surely come when everything in your palace and all that your predecessors have stored up until this day will be carried off to Babylon. He told him everything you have will be taken away. Nothing will be left in your house. Nothing will be left, says the Lord. And some of your descendants, your own flesh and blood, who will be born to you, will be taken away. And they will become eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. So he told him, even your descendants, they will become slaves, they will be eunuchs, they will be emasculated, and they will be taken to Babylon. That was a heavy rebuke and heavy judgment, and we need to understand what are the wrong things that Hezekiah did. You know, according to the history, at that time of Hezekiah's reign, when the Babylon came and visited him, the Babylonians were subdued and under the Assyrians at that time. And when the Lord made a great victory over the Assyrian army, you know, the Lord in book of 2 Kings chapter 19 verse 35 onwards, he sent his angel, because the army of the Assyrians were surrounding the city of Jerusalem, and they came because Hezekiah decided to trust in the Lord, and he rebelled against them. So they came to take and to capture Jerusalem. That night, the angel of the Lord went out and put to death 185,000 in the Assyrian camp. When the people get up the next morning, there were all the dead bodies. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, broke camp and withdrew. He returned to Nineveh and stayed there. One day while he was worshipping in the temple of his god, Nisroch, his sons Adramelech and Shalezer killed him with the sword, and they escaped to the land of Ararat. And Esarhaddon, his son, succeeded him as king. You know, the victory that God gave to Hezekiah, the captain of the people of God over the Assyrians, that victory gave relief to the Babylonians as well. Therefore, they came to Hezekiah in order to be friend to him, as they have seen that he got a big victory over their enemies. When God gave victory to Hezekiah, the Babylonians, they saw that, they did not see God is big, they saw Hezekiah is big, and they came to Hezekiah to be a friend with him. The shortcoming of Hezekiah, when he met those people, he was boastful and he behaved out of pride. He went ahead and he showed them everything. He did not treat them as a nation that he can subdue for the Lord. He did not stand with God when he met them, but he go along with them. He was enticed with the letters and with the gift they brought and flattering words. He was deceived with the letter and the gift that they brought to him, as well as he boasted that as if his own strength achieved that victory to him. That's why he showed them everything he wanted to show off. He knew very well, Hezekiah, he knew very well that his behavior was done out of pride, and it was unpleasant to the Lord. How we know that? You know, because he did not inform the prophet Isaiah about that visit, and he hid that visit from the prophet Isaiah, because he knew that Isaiah will not allow him, will prohibit him from doing what he did. Hezekiah was so open to such kind of people, the Babylonian, and he was receiving gifts and letters from them. In this behavior, Hezekiah was making of them equal friends to him. That attitude brought Isaiah to pronounce that curse and judgment on him. Now when Isaiah rebuked him, the purpose of Isaiah in pronouncing that curse and that rebuke was to warn Hezekiah and to explain to him that the sinful act that he did will bring bad effect and bad consequences. You know, the Lord's message to him through Isaiah the prophet, the purpose of it is to make him realize his mistakes and finally to bring him to repentance. But instead that he will repent, he boasted more. Hezekiah did not repent. He took the rebuke of the prophet Isaiah with a pride. And how he answered? He answered out of pride. In verse 19, 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 19. Then said Hezekiah unto Isaiah, good is the word of the Lord which thou hast spoken. And he said, it is not good if peace and truth be in my days. So he took it, you know, like you say, cool. Anyhow, I am good. There'll be peace. There's peace in my life. I have everything. Your message is good. So he took it with a cold blood. He did not repent. Now you may ask that Hezekiah had done a lot and big things for the Lord. And you may say it is not a big mistake what Hezekiah did. In addition that Hezekiah had done a great and marvelous things for the Lord. So why Isaiah was so judgmental to deal with him? Why such kind of heavy rebuke? Isaiah or the Lord did not know that Hezekiah have done a lot of things, you know, beautiful and marvelous to God. And you may say also that I have done many things good. I did one mistake and everyone is angry with me and I am down. And why like that? Where is the justice? If we read Ezekiel chapter 18 verse 24 onward to verse 27, it will be a good answer to your question and a good answer to your query. You say Ezekiel chapter 18 verse 24 onward, but if a righteous man turns from his righteousness and commits sin and does the same detestable things the wicked man does, will he live? That's the question. The answer, none of the righteous things he has done will be remembered because of the unfaithfulness he is guilty of, and because of the sins he has committed, he will die. Nothing of the righteousness and the good things that he did will be remembered if he did wrong. Yet you say, verse 25, the way of the Lord is not just. Hear you, Israelites. Is my way unjust? Is it not your ways that are unjust? If a righteous man turns from his righteousness and commits sin, he will die for it. Because of the sin he had committed, he will die. You know, Hezekiah did a wicked thing, and that needs to be corrected. It has to be made right before the Lord. If Hezekiah wants forgiveness and want to be reconciled with God, need to make that correct. Hezekiah acted out of boasting and pride, and when he was corrected also, he acted with a pride. And that pride made him show disrespect to the rebuke of the prophet Isaiah in the way he answered the prophet. Hezekiah needed to repent before he can be restored and before he can be reconciled to God. Ezekiel chapter 18 verse 27. But if a wicked man turns away from the wickedness he has committed and does what is just and right, he will save his life. When Isaiah went to him, and if he accepts his mistake and his sin, he will say, I am not aware, thank you, correct me, I was boastful, forgive me, Lord, my sin. He'll be restored. Because the purpose of God to rebuke, to correct, is to bring people back to the right way of life. You must understand that the process of salvation is our journey to heaven. When you sin, then you need to repent in order for you to be restored. To be restored, you need to go back to the point that you failed God in His calling to you. You go back, you need to be corrected, to be amended, then your calling will continue. Whatever a great thing that you have done in the past, you say, I have done a lot of things in the past, even now I'm doing great things, that will not cover that sin that you had committed recently, unless you correct yourself. Therefore, my advice for you to humble down, put the pride away, confess your sin, and renounce your shortcomings so that you'll be restored back to the good plan that God has in calling you to save Him. Let's come now to the Lord. Come to the Lord in a prayer with a clear mind that you need to repent, you need to correct yourself of that particular sin that brought you away from God. Tell Him, Lord, thank you for your clear word to me. Thank you, Lord, for your Son Jesus who died on the cross for my sins to give me eternal life. Lord, now I understand that I cannot boast of the good things that I did in the past. This is not by works, so that no one will boast. Rather, I need to repent from my sin. Confess your sin that you did recently, and I promise God to correct it, to make it go well with you. Tell Him, Lord, forgive me and restore me back so I can continue to save you. I pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, to every brother and sister who commit their lives and their ways fully to you, O Lord, and repented of that particular sin and mishap that they have done against you and against your word and against the teaching. God, have mercy on them. Restore them, O God. Not allow the devil come and enter their life and destroy what you have given them or their families or their children. I pray, have mercy on them, Lord, as they are willing to serve you. You restore them. Let them continue to know and to hear the truth so that they will be always to be set free. O God, I pray that the purpose of sending this word of yours to your church and to your people had accomplished the purpose. O Lord, take this message with the power of the Holy Spirit and make it reach those who are in need and those who are waiting to hear this word of yours. We thank you, Lord, and we bless you. God, bless us. Enlarge our territory, Lord. Let your hand be with us. And keep us, Lord, from harm, so that we will not feel pain. May the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all in Jesus' name. Amen and Amen.